Hello and welcome to Chimecast. From emerging issues to new innovations, the Chimecast channel brings you the digital health leaders and business executives from around the globe who are making an impact on the way we transform health and care. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the president and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. We continue to live and evolve through challenging times for healthcare professionals, their industry partners, and the people we all serve. Leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome two distinguished Chime leaders who, besides being amazing individuals and industry innovators, are also representatives of our freshman class of the Board of Trustees. First, we have Linda Stevenson, the Chief Information Officer at Fisher Titus Health. Linda brings a wealth of experience in leading digital health initiatives and has been instrumental in driving innovation and excellence in healthcare technology. Joining her is Saad Chaudhry, the Chief Digital and Information Officer at Luminous Health. Saad is known for being forward-thinking in his approach to digital health and his commitment to leveraging technology to improve patient outcomes and operational efficiency. Together, these two amazing leaders are going to offer a fresh perspective on the challenges and opportunities facing healthcare industry and the role of Chime in supporting senior digital health leaders. So with that, welcome to the program, Linda, and welcome to the program, Saad.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Well, let's just jump in right in with the freshman hazing here as we go through this concept. Boy, I tell you what, could healthcare be any more difficult right now? We use the term evolving, but you know I love to use the term it's revolutionizing itself, whether it be new technologies, regulatory, or even as we were experiencing in just even the previous podcast, you know, the cyber environment that we're all dealing with right now. You know, what are you seeing as the most significant trends and forces and things that are shaping not just healthcare at a macro level, but also the work you're doing every day to get past the old school thought of digitization and really transforming the way healthcare is delivered? So, Linda, we'll start with you.
Sure. I think there's two key things that are really changing for us, and that's the evolution of AI. What is that going to bring to the table? And we have to think totally differently. It's no longer transactional, but tools and solutions that will really guide our caregivers to just make their lives easier. And all of that at the same time, when we're really focusing on a patient-centric offering. Patients need more, want to be engaged. So we can't think about only what our nurses and doctors and our administrative staff need, but what do our patients need? That's a huge shift for healthcare.
Wow. Saad, what do you see is going on?
So I think Linda is absolutely accurate. You can't go a foot anywhere without running into AI in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a mention of it or a new product on the horizon. Having said that, I think there's another thing that's on the horizon, perhaps not as sexy or shiny as AI or some of the other new technologies, but more about back to basics, building foundations. And these are things that we took for granted for a very, very long time. And they're unsexy, frankly, because you can spend a lot of resources, both time and money on them. And the end user, whether they're a clinician or a patient, may not get to see the fruits of your labor immediately in front of their eyes. So it tends to kind of fly under the radar, but I think this is the time where we need to reinvigorate them. And frankly, we're going to need to if we want to use things like the AI side.
Absolutely.
So you all are in, let's see if I can do the math really fast in my head. You're on day 57 of your board tenure. I think that's right, 31 and 26. Yeah, that's 57. So you still kind of have that whole fresh board smell, kind of like the new car thing, trying to figure it all out. But at the same time, you are serious industry leaders who have been doing this for a long time. I know you've been doing this all over the globe. And you've probably got one of the hardest jobs in the world, Linda, because you are not in the size organization where you have 17 people doing jobs. You are the 17 people doing those jobs in your organization. So I'd love to hear your thoughts as you've now been freshly brought onto the Chime board, really to not just represent an industry, but help drive an industry to a new place. I'd love to hear your thoughts on kind of what that means and the role you think we have to play. More importantly, what role do you have to play now as a new board member in driving the industry? We'll start with you, Saad.
you know, the role of your regular old healthcare CIO is in itself has changed. And it's changed because that CIO no longer has to be only a technology executive. Certainly you have some level of roots in there in technology. You have to understand it at an intrinsic level. But the role of a CIO, or whether you want to add a D to it, as they call it, Chief Digital and Information Officer, or whatever it may evolve to next, is really more of a business executive now. And it's a tough role only because that means you have to understand a little bit of finance, HR, legalese, nursing operations, pharmacy operations, supply chain. You have to understand them because eventually you're going to have to partner with those executives to say, this is what we have available today in the market, in-house, where we can make these processes and operations better, or a little bit more modern. But if you just go there and say, hey, you tell me what technology you need, they won't know the technology like you do, and you won't know their operations like they do.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because for a long time, and I'm not saying it's not true even today, the one person that probably knew everything going on in an organization was the CFO, because you mapped every initiative back to a dollar. And I'm not suggesting the CFO, she or he, doesn't have that mindset anymore. But the one person that really should understand the detailed operations between every one of those operations, initiatives, thought processes, whatever it may be, better be whatever that digital health leader is being called today. I love the fact that there's so many titles in our database now. I'm just going to call them all really senior digital health leaders. I'm not overly concerned anymore about their titles around that. Linda, how do you see this? Again, no matter how many of those titles are, we probably could put them all into your title now and the way you have to run in your organization. How do you see this going on?
Yeah, so true. In a community hospital, we wear all the hats. But regardless of what size your organization, we're business partners. And I think the role that Chime plays is so important because as technology leaders and business partners of every single area in the organization, we do have to touch everything. How do we learn all of that? We use organizations such as Chime to help us vet information, to distill information, to network with others, because we can't do it all by ourselves. So the more we connect with others through the organization, and Chime does a great job of that, that's the value here.
Well, let's talk about one of those burning platforms that's right in front of us. And we saw a small snippet of what we're going to experience moving forward with the significant nursing shortages over the last, say, 18 months. And what that did to your bottom lines is we saw travelers going up through the roof, or agencies and all that kind of stuff, and you're paying 2x, 3x of the norm, and all of a sudden what little bottom line you had disappeared that's there. But all projections are this workforce shortage is not going to get better. It's going to be significantly worse. I mean, 8 to 13% of the workforce will disappear in the next 3 to 5 years, and there are no replacements for them in this. So when you look at your responsibilities as not just a digital health leader helping them do their jobs a little bit better, but in some cases, literally having to replace workforce with automation, replace workforce with eliminating tasks human beings have to do. How do you approach such a delicate thought process of, one, I know there's something coming that I got to be ready for, and how proactive can I be to replace people when people don't want to be replaced? So Linda, we'll start with you here.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. A couple of things. I think we've stabilized in terms of our turnover, but it's back to the business partner. We have to partner with them proactively. We have to reach out and work with our leaders, say, where's the biggest challenges? Where's the biggest benefits? Align technology, whether it's AI or anything else, with solving those problems. But by the same time, I think we've got to become marketers. So how do we market technology in our organizations, what we have, what we don't have, to community, to our business leaders, but also to so on social, et cetera, to say, because who doesn't want to work for an organization that has great tech, right? The up and coming generations want to see that I'm not going to walk into an archaic organization. So it's not just finding the right things to replace the people, but also finding the right things to attract the people.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective. So what do you see in this situation?
So I actually want to mirror something that Linda just said, and I think it's key. And we at Chime are hearing this more and more from our membership. I'm very fortunate that I'm at an organization where this is actually reality for me. And what that is the alignment between marketing communications and the digital side of the house. That digital side of the house, again, could be whatever title, CIO, CDO, whatever. So in my case, I oversee not just IT, but also marketing communications and PR. And in fact, I've been exposed to operational elements because we had a leadership transition in the CFO office. So I temporarily was also overseeing supply chain and real estate. the reason I say all of these things is because in each one of those components, it allowed me to be a better technologist in each case. With marketing and communications, to your point, allowed me the ability to see what are we actually showing the outside world. And that's not just the outside world to the patient population, but to the outside world of people that are involved with our organization, such as our own board members. They are external components of an internal side of the organization. And then the second thing is, we are at, the workforce shortage is absolutely playing havoc. We all know that. We know that the pipeline of talent is also very, very complex. To your point, a large percentage is actually going to be removed from the working force. We also know that on the other side of that fence, in the year 2030, about 20% of the country's population is going to be over retirement age. So this is essentially your Indiana Jones scenario where one wall is closing in on you, the other wall is spikes, right? Ironically, this is probably the best scenario to augment folks because they would welcome it. And frankly, we keep talking about money drives a lot of these things. And I can tell you, we implemented virtual nursing and telesitters, and it was actually an improvement in operations and nursing happiness. We did not let the dollars and cents make the decision because we realized that no matter what, we have to make that augmentation play today. And that's a good place to be.
Wow. So as you both touched on this a little bit, and as you think about, and you know, I have a buzzword hatred on certain words. I hate the term next generation because guess what? They're here now. All you have to do is walk out on the floor and right outside our doors here in Vive, and you'll see that it's the next generation here. And as I say this as a person who's running the gap between boomer and X, and we respect unbelievably all the work the boomers did to get us here. But the reality is the X, Ys, and Zs are here, and they work differently. They think differently. It's not wrong. It has to be embraced and have to think about this. But how do we bring up the next generation in some form of even having to respect the past, meaning you have to know where you are at from a legacy perspective. You have to embrace at least understanding that to be able to get you to a new place. How do we help these next generations? And I'd say in a very positive thought process, to really embrace an industry that still has a long way to go down this path, and understand that it's going to be a lot of hard work and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to really get to where we need to be. Saad?
So I love the fact that we at Chime are calling it the now generation. And I think that in itself, the terminology being used to label certain generational things is an important element. The other thing is, we always talk about how quickly things change in some cases in healthcare and how slowly things change in some ways in healthcare. The thing with the now generation is that they're actually used to a faster pace of change. So trends come and go. By the time us millennials and boomers and everybody else catches on to those trends, the next trend is already there that we're unaware of with Gen Z and Alpha. So one of the things is to actually get comfortable with the fact that while by the time you're catching up, the trend is probably going to change. The way we're going to put out content from a Chime perspective, the way we're going to provide advocacy, the way we're going to focus on now generation will constantly be changing.
Wow. Linda, what do you see? You see a lot of this.
I do. I think there's two things. One is the role that Chime plays of connecting these different generations is going to be so important so that people from my generation can learn from the now generation and vice versa. I mean, there's so much that we can learn from each other. I'm really excited for the opportunities that we're going to present as part of Chime. But beyond that, I think the one thing we can remember, especially in the now generation, is our culture and our mission. You're in healthcare for a reason, and it's about the mission. It's about the fact that we can save lives every day with everything that we do, and using that to the extent possible to help them be attracted to this, what they might see as archaic.
Wow. Well, one of your jobs as digital health leaders, especially working in your organization at a C-suite level, is to paint a picture of the future, not necessarily in certainty, but in clarity. You know, the difference is you're not gonna say, hey, we're gonna be on 7G in 2 years and we better upgrade our infrastructure, blah, 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 blah. You have to say things like, it's gonna be a different way to communicate. We're gonna have to think differently, not about our infrastructure requirements, but the entire ecosystem's infrastructure requirements. How's mobility gonna work? All those, it's just one little tiny example of having to paint a picture of a different world that maybe you don't even know how it's going to work. How do you approach such ambiguity when the leaders looking at you sitting around the table say, you need to help us create the exact same certainty that a CFO does with numbers? which is literally impossible to do that. But yet you're supposed to be the visionary. You're supposed to be the futurist that helps us get there. Linda, how are you going to approach this?
I think we're going to network a lot. We're going to talk to people. We're going to listen to all the generations, bring those ideas. And yes, we're going to build a roadmap, whatever that is at the time. But we also have to be, and this is something we're dealing with now, fluid and flexible, because I might have a roadmap that we've all agreed to for the next year. And 6 months down the road, that could change because the latest and greatest whatever came out, and helping our team understand it. Gone are the days where we're going to have a 5-year plan. All right. I think we're lucky, and maybe 2 at the most is where we're going to go, and just be fluid and open.
Yeah. It's interesting. And the board that you just came on, when they updated the strategy for us and they were talking about 5 years out, it's like 5 words. It's not, you're going to do these 17 things. It was like 5 or 6 words. This is the future. These things. And we don't know what it means to get from here to those words. It's a huge fluid dynamic. So Saad, how do you approach this? I mean, and I didn't even realize you had all those areas. You're not just doing this for kind of the traditional IT and digital health. You're trying to paint this picture for a much bigger portion of your organization. How do you approach uncertainty to create clarity?
So there is a level of discipline you have to sort of impose on the planning side of it. The way we have approached it at Luminous, and I certainly have in my own career at other places as well, is a 8-to-decade-year vision. And that vision can have lofty goals or whatever, but it's just a vision. It does not have a strategy or a plan attached to it. Then you do strategies in a 2-to-3-year sort of intervals, and then your plan is your annual plan. And that's pretty much as far as you can see in terms of actual planning and putting on paper, because after that, it gets foggy. And the other side of this is, Russ, you mentioned that there's so much going on. How do you actually say this is what it means to us and we should aim for this in 2 years, 3 years? I think the first step in that is actually being able to clarify the complexity in a lot of cases. The longer complexity stays a black box on any topic, whether it's quantum computing or it's cybersecurity or AI, the longer people will assume you'll be at a certain place or will understand only certain facets of it and say, hey, why don't we get that? Not understanding that there's a deeper thing underneath it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, what's your perspective on quantum? I said, I'm going to buy 3 of them for my home. And they just looked at me with this kind of weird look like, is that really a thing? And I was like, no, you can't buy a quantum for your house. Now, maybe we will someday and it'll just be like having an iPhone. But yeah, it's a strange world for us being not as technical as we used to be, but understanding the impact of that technology as you move forward. So kind of as we're wrapping our time up here, I'd like to tap into you kind of as you have very unique careers, and I've know you both well enough to know kind of all the difference, but you know, so much in rural care where things are scarce sometimes and you're trying to do everything you can that, and at the same time side, you've been bouncing all over the globe and seen a lot of different things. So you both have very unique experiences. You're not your traditional, you know, large system CIO, big academic CIO, which again, each one of those is unique, but there's commonalities in kind of academic, but you're kind of in your own unique worlds. I'd love to hear kind of maybe your biggest lesson that's kind of, given you who you are and how you approach leadership, how you think things are. And then kind of I'll come back to the next question. We'll just start with that. How about that?
Sure. So my biggest thing is never let a good crisis go to waste. That is, you know, I've been in this industry long enough. I think HIPAA back in the day was a crisis, or it felt like one. So anything that's it's challenging, it's frustrating, it's overwhelming, but that's when we all come together. You know, we come together as a team, we learn from each other, we bond together, but then we also have the most personal growth ever during those times. So while then COVID came and now we have these other cyber events that we're dealing with, all those present opportunities for personal growth. And I think that's the most important thing that I can share with any leader going forward is take advantage of those moments.
Wow. Saad?
I would say that the person sitting here recording the podcast is actually not a person. I'm a collection of villages that have allowed me to be here. And one of those villages is Chime. None of us innately knows the job we're going to do when we're first born. We're shaped and sharpened over years and years and years. And people take risks on us and they trust us with stuff when we try to rise to the occasion. And so that's what's allowed me to get anywhere I am in the career. It's nothing to do with self-madeness. if that's a word. It's everything to do with this huge global village that sort of lifted me up, and you guys are a part of that.
Well, that's actually kind of the last little simple question, but it's maybe very not so simple. It's maybe very complex. Is you obviously, this is a complete volunteer organization, and so you obviously volunteered to take more responsibility on in the industry, to give up a little personal time to do the things you do. Why do you want to give back to our community? I mean, and I won't even ask the why chime. Why do you feel the responsibility to give back to our community?
I actually, Russ, you know this about me. I'm annoying that I speak in analogies often. And the analogy I use is that of a fish aquarium, right? We could very well say, hey, we're the fish at the top left of this. What's happening at the bottom right somewhere where a snail is decaying doesn't affect me, but it does. You're breathing in the same water. We're in the same environment. I truly believe anything you put out in the environment, healthcare at large, you also benefit from as part of the ecosystem. It can be anything from creating a pipeline of the next now and next generation of leaders to actually improving yourself to help your organization and Chime and associations beyond more and more. So it's the same ecosystem, and we're not detached from it, even if though sometimes it may feel like that, we're not. What happens in one corner affects the other.
Wow. Linda? Community, in this community we all kind of work in, what's it mean to you?
Yeah, it's family, it's friends, it's networking. But I think that from the moment I was involved with Chime, the people here have been so kind and giving of their time and their information and their networking and their contacts or whatever, that I'm like, yeah, I want to be part of that. I want to do for others what people have done for me and pass it along.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for one, stepping up to lead at Chime. We greatly appreciate that. We will make sure the freshman hazing continues for a few more months, to say the least. But more importantly, thank you for caring so much, willing to serve there, but also being on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, we'd also like to thank you for listening to this episode of our program at ChimeCast. As always, you can listen to us at chimecentral.org/media or on Spotify for listening to these amazing healthcare leaders. As always, continue to innovate, transform, and create positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout all the communities you serve. For now, stay safe and God bless.